Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I talked with cellist Matt Heimovitz about his CD called Overtures to Bach. Heimovitz commissioned composers to write overtures in response to Bach preludes to his cello suites. I asked him where he got the idea.
Well, partly the idea came from the fact that I've been getting so much out of these cello suites for a few decades now, and I wanted to give back to Bach with these new commissions, but also what Bach was doing in his time, 300 years ago, he was synthesizing vernaculars from around him, from Spain, from Italy, from France, and elsewhere. Whatever he could get his hands on, essentially, he used those forms and ideas to create his voice and his language. So I sort of wanted to expand that cultural palette and work with living composers who were dealing with the same kinds of compositional process issues that Bach was dealing with, but just open it up and bring in a variety of backgrounds. So on this album, we have Hawaiian chant being used by Luna Pearl Wolf in the Liliuokalani, the overture to the sixth suite. Bach didn't come into contact with Hawaiian chant, but if he had, he probably would have used it. or Caribbean salsa, Roberto Sierra sort of transforms the arpeggios of Bach's prelude and gives it a Caribbean salsa beat, groove. So again, Caribbean salsa meets Bach in the overture to the fourth suite by Roberto Sierra, La Memoria. Or you have, someone like Vijay Iyer or David Sanford, where they're kind of bringing in their jazz or improvisational backgrounds. And so in David Sanford's piece, which is an overture to the fifth suite, you've got Charles Mingus, John Coltrane, and others sort of making their way into his music and sort of having this conversation or even wrestling Bach in that piece.
What was the call to composers? Were they asked to respond to each specific piece?
Yes. My first phone call was to Philip Glass, and I thought Philip should write on the first suite, partly because that opening prelude is a minimalist piece to some extent, the opening prelude of the Bach.
Right.
I won't get into it, but Philip doesn't like to be called a minimalist, so I won't mention it again. But but anyway, I just thought he would be a great fit for the first suite. And I also thought that he would sort of set the tone for the whole album, and he really truly did. I mean, he writes a piece which sort of puts you in a state of mind and a sense of peace, but also romance, and very Bach-like in his approach, very contrapuntal and singing, and you hear two, three voices in conversation.
So was your request to them to respond in whatever way they felt was appropriate for their compositional style?
Yeah, I sort of paired each composer. I mean, there were a couple of shifts. I think I had initially thought that Luna Pearl Wolf would write the overture for the second suite, but then Duyun really wanted the second suite. She was really struck by that piece, especially the Sarabande of the second suite of Bach, and so she got it. And with Vijay Iyer, I really thought the third suite, that opening prelude is so improvisational, and the overtones of the instruments that Bach celebrates, I just thought Vijay would be a great fit for that. So I tried to pair each suite with the composer.
Right. Were you surprised by the variety that you got?
No, I expected the variety. I was just shocked, or I'm not shocked, but it just exceeded my expectations, each one of them. Both on a sort of challenging level, I had to develop new techniques, which after all these years, I've played a lot of new music now. I've done a lot of, crossing over into different genres and whatnot. And I was astounded that each of these pieces, I had to master new ideas, new techniques, new language.
Which piece in particular would you highlight?
I would start with the Vijay Iyer piece as an example, because with Vijay's piece, when I first got it, I really thought it was impossible. All these string crossings so fast, and really all the pulsations, the sort of complex metric ideas going on in the piece was just really foreign to my form. I'm used to being an opera singer and sustaining lines, and I play cello, bass lines or solo lines, but melodies. But this was a very different kind of technique to sort of get into. And the first 3 days, it just sounded terrible, honestly. I mean, I wasn't getting anywhere with the piece. And then finally, I started to make little changes of articulation, putting a few notes on a bow instead of just, you know, keeping it separate. And then it started to take life and flight, and it just started to make more and more sense. And then working with him, with Vijay, on the sense of kinesthesia, the rhythm as kinesthesia, that really also brought everything to life. It was really like approaching my cello as a drummer would his instrument, you know. So
this, wow.
it was a whole new approach to the instrument.
Well, that's really interesting. And I guess you write in the notes as well that you think he was inspired by the freedom given the performer by Bach as well. When you put these pieces side by side, does it change the way you perform the Bach?
More than the way I perform the Bach, although I do think it changes. Again, using Vijay as an example, with the third suite, when I recorded that prelude, I was thinking that this is going to follow the ire, and the ire is, I mean, at the end of the ire, I'm rocking out. He even says, you know, he writes in the part, groove hard, you know, and so, and then Bach, you know, comes into it. So of course, I'm going in a few centuries back, and it's a very different style of writing, but I didn't want to lose energy, the energy that I had built up with Vijay's piece. So yeah, so I think it did affect a little bit, you know, in terms of tempo and just wanting to keep the energy in the Bach. But at the same time, I think a lot of it has to do with sort of changing the context. And I think for the listener and for me, having the Bach follow this contemporary piece just brings out different elements as we hear it, even if I'm not consciously changing the way I play the Bach.
Right. It gives new insights into them. Well, I was finding
exactly.
When I was listening to it that I was listening to, you know, the contemporary piece and then the Bach, and then I wanted to go back and listen to the contemporary piece again and maybe then the Bach again, because there was some sort of interplay between them, and it was kind of fun to listen for that. Also, you say in your notes that you had to unearth an inner Charles Mingus to tackle David S.'s War.
Right.
Is that another piece that challenged you in a different way?
Absolutely. Oh, my God. yeah, exactly. David's piece... I had sort of the same reaction when the first couple of pages are all pizzicato. And again, I'm not used to pizzing like that. It's like the Beatles tune. You hear, I have blisters on my fingers, you know, at the end of it. But I mean, I had to work up some serious calluses for that opening, for that pizzicato. And I had never really used two fingers to pizz. It's always just, you know, simple one finger pizzicato. And this, to get sort of a real bass technique, a real jazz bassist. I had to sort of study some jazz bass to get into it, hence the Mingus.
It's interesting that Bach and the cello seem to be two partners of yours on this journey that you're taking musically. You're exploring the kind of ever-deepening richness of Bach and also of the possibilities of the cello.
Well, I guess I think of it like Bach is the book that I carry with me everywhere. There are other good books, but I have to bring Bach along, you know, with me at all times. It's a Bible of sorts.
Last question: what do you hope people will take away from this?
Well, I hope they enjoy the variety of approaches, and that really, classical music is a living, breathing art form, and that there is a trajectory, and that Bach's music is as contemporary as anything being written today, and anything being written today will be around for the next 300 years as well, you know, that it has that sort of trajectory.
That's terrific. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.